Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parivraja Kacharya, Asatara Satashri Srimad, Devangar, Zesi Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Adwaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shai Mukunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Gangamai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nivasesis Nivadi Bhaskachade Satarne. Mandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's July 23rd, 2013 in Hilo, Hawaii. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. Chapter 7, text 41. This is from the son of Drona, punished.
Ato
petya swashibiram.
Ato petya swashibiram.
Govinda priya sharati.
Govinda priya sharati.
Nya vedayatam priyayai.
Vedayatam priyayai.
Shochancha atmajanhatan. Atta.
Atta.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Upetya.
Upetya.
Having reached.
Having reached.
Sva.
Sva.
Own.
Own.
Shibiram.
Shibiram.
Camp.
Camp.
Govinda.
Govinda.
One who enlivens the senses, Lord Sri Krishna.
One who enlivens the senses, Lord Sri Krishna.
Priya.
Priya.
Dear.
Dear.
Sharatihi.
Sarathi.
The charioteer.
Sarathi.
The charioteer.
Navedayat.
Nivedayat.
Entrusted to.
Entrusted to.
Tam.
Tam.
Him.
Him.
Priyayai.
Priyayai.
Unto the deer.
Unto the deer.
That's D-E-A-R, not an animal. So chanchai.
Shurchantyai.
Lamenting for.
Lamenting for.
Atmajan.
Atmajan.
Own sons.
Own sons.
Hatan.
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 Murdered.
Murderer.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After reaching his own camp, Arjuna, along with his dear friend and charioteer Sri Krishna, entrusted the murderer unto his dear wife, who was lamenting for her murdered sons. Purport. The transcendental relation of Arjuna with Krishna is of the dearmost friendship. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself has claimed Arjuna as his dearmost friend. Every living being is thus related with the Supreme Lord by some sort of affectionate relationship, either as servant, or as friend, or as parent, or as an object of conjugal love. Everyone thus can enjoy the company of the Lord in the Supreme Realm if he at all desires and sincerely tries for it by the process of bhakti yoga. Ato pecha swashabiram govinda priya saratihi nya vedaya tam priyayai shochancha atmajanhatan. After reaching his own camp, Arjuna, along with his dear friend and charioteer Sri Krishna, entrusted the murderer unto his dear wife, who was lamenting for her murdered sons. So Prabhupada is focusing on the word priya, govinda priya sharatihi. Of course, we have another priya in this verse, priyayai, referring to the relationship between Arjuna and Draupadi. And Srila Prabhupada here is talking about affectionate relation. So we all have an urge, a deep urge, a strong urge for affectionate relationships. We desire to taste everything we do, Prabhupada says in the preface to Nectar Devotion, is motivated by the desire to taste some kind of rasa, to have some sort of pleasure, to have our senses enlivened. Here Srila Prabhupada translates Govinda as one who enlivens the senses, Lord Sri Krishna. So we are looking for different ways to enliven our senses through different tastes, through different rasas. And here Prabhupada talks about the five primary rasas. Of course, there's also seven secondary rasas. And we are seeking to do this because these five primary rasas are all about relationship. We're seeking to do this through relationship. We're doing this all the time. Of course, sometimes the relationship we try to have is even with an object rather than with a living being. But generally, we are trying to have these relationships with other living beings. There's people that we serve. There's people that we're friends with. There's people who are our children, our students, our people that we help in some way, that we advise, that we guide, that we protect. People that we have as our romantic partners. And through these different relationships, we're trying to have our senses enlivened through this affection. However, kamala dala jala jivana talamala. All of these relationships are just like a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus flower. They are temporary. Ashashvatam. They don't last. So when I was a young girl, I had a very good friend. When I was a little girl in New York City, I had a very good friend. She and I had the same birthday, and we had the same system of playing with our toys. She went to the same school as I did, and we lived on the same street. And we would play the same kind of games together, and we had some very sweet, affectionate relationship. But where is she now? I have no idea. I have no contact with her whatsoever. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. It's gone. That relationship is gone. And when I was older, I had friendship with the girl across the street. I was always at her house, or she was always at my house. We did so many things together. I had another friendship with the girl around the block. And where are they now? One of them occasionally writes me on Facebook. But where is the friendship? It's gone. It's temporary. It's finished. And similarly, all of the friendships I have now, they'll be finished. In my past lives, I had so many friendships. Where are they? Prabhupada, in the later part of his life, he went to Calcutta, and he said, "Where are my family members? They are simply a list of names." So, of course, there's death. So many of my friends have died. But even the ones that haven't died, somehow we drifted away like little straws floating in the water, floating in a river. The other day we went swimming up at Rainbow Falls, and there was not a straw, there was a huge log. Huge. Very long, I'd say. At least 6-7 meters, 6-7 yards long. Probably about a foot wide, foot in diameter, huge. And we went there one day, then 2 days later we went back again, and the log was at the other side of the river. One day it was on one side, one day it was on the other side. My granddaughter said, "Hey, Grandma, why don't we push this log back to the other side?" which we almost did. But even if it's a big log, it will float to the other side of the river. It will separate. We're just, even if our friendships, even if our romantic relationships, even, I mean, nowadays, people don't even keep their sexual partner for their whole life. Used to be, you know, go back 50 years, hardly anybody got divorced. Now, not only do people get divorced, half of all marriages get divorced, but people have so many romantic partnerships, it's not even marriage. They have a romantic partnership for a week or for a month. You know, so many. Kamala Dala Jala Jiva Natala Mala. And this, therefore, we cannot really have our senses enlivened because it's temporary. And then even when we have these relationships, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his nice song about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being the moon of Grojuma's garden, they're full of quarrels and strife. So most of our attempts to get rasa through our affectionate relationships are full of quarrels and strife. Right? How many people have relationships that are not full of quarrels and strife? Difficulties, misunderstandings, hurt feelings, dissatisfaction. Can we say, I have a relationship with somebody where I am serving them, or they are my friend, or I am guiding them, or we have a romantic relationship where there's no quarrels and no strife? Does that exist? Is there such a thing? Where there's no difficulties, where there's no disappointments, where there's no hurt feelings. Even for the temporary time that it lasts, the moment that it lasts, does it fully satisfy us? The answer is no, if we're honest. So many difficulties. We're with others, but yet we often feel alone, misunderstood, unappreciated, unloved. And if we're honest, we have to admit that others must feel that way about us. That others must feel that we are not fully enlivening their senses. That we cannot fully satisfy. This Govinda, one who enlivens the senses, reminds me of where Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that those in the mode of goodness have all their senses illumined by knowledge. To feel that your whole self is alive with light and with joy. Can we really give that to another person? Or to anyone? Can anything give that to us? Can they give it to us permanently without any inebrieties? Therefore, if we're actually intelligent, then we should follow what Srila Prabhupada says here. We should realize that what we are seeking can really be found, as Prabhupada says, in our relation with the Supreme Lord. And he says that every living being is thus related with the Supreme Lord by some sort of affectionate relation. We have a particular relation with Krishna. And that relationship actually fully enlivens our senses. And not only does Krishna fully enliven us, but we, when we are situated in our actual position, we also enliven him. Rishikena, Rishikena, Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. We are pleasing his senses. He is fully enlivening us, and we are fully enlivening him. How amazing. We are so small, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. And he is Brahman. He is the great. He is in everywhere. Ekopi sora chaitam jagananda koti yach chakti rasti jagananda chayayanantandantarastas paramanu chayam tarastam. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktimurtinam matstani sarvabhutani. I am everywhere, Krishna said. He's the biggest, he's the greatest, he is everything, he is everywhere. We are so tiny, so small, and yet when we're in that relationship, we can enliven his senses. That's possible. Just like even us, we can feel pleasure from watching a tiny, beautiful insect. Have you ever watched a butterfly or a dragonfly and felt enlivened? They're so insignificant. If a bug dies, who cares? There's no funeral. There's no bug cemeteries. There's dog cemeteries. No bug cemeteries. But still, we can feel some happiness, even from an insignificant creature. I read a really funny story once, not too long ago. I should have kept it anyway. Of this family who went out shopping, and there was a tiny little frog stuck in the lettuce that they bought. And they kept this frog as like a pet for, I think, a year or something like that. And they felt some pleasure taking care of this little frog. So Krishna also feels some pleasure taking care of us little frogs. We feel some enlivenment. And certainly he enlivens us. So Sarvapadi Vinirmuktan, Tatparatena Nirmalam, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. We have to get rid of these false designations and this false affection. Srila Prabhupada, in giving a lecture on this verse, he talks about that I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a this, I'm not a that. One must get rid of all these ideas. Because all of our ultimately painful material attempts at our perverted rasa are based on these false designations. I am this. My friendship with this person, my parental relationship, my romantic relationship, whatever, is all based on a false designation for each of us. I am pretending to be something, and you are pretending to be something, and on that basis we have a relationship. It's like a play, it's like a drama, where each person is pretending to be something that they're not, and then their relationship is based on that false identity. So all of our relationships, the ultimate reason, in fact, that they're dissatisfying, is that the very basis of them is false. We may get some pleasure out of being in a drama, but you can't have a real relationship in a drama. That's just not possible. I've been in a play. I was in a play a few years ago in Mayapur where I was playing the stepmother of Judd Bharat. And Judd Bharat was there and one of the other devotees was there as my biological son in the drama. So in the drama, I had a relationship with these two. Actually, they were brothers, Gurukulis, as mother and son. But the relationship in the drama couldn't satisfy me because we weren't those characters. It wasn't who we were. So all of our relationships here are based on this false thing, and therefore we have to give up this false designation. We have to stop thinking in terms of I am an American, I am an Indian, I am a man, I am a woman, I am this person's mother and this person's... It's all nonsense. And instead, start developing our real affection for Krishna. Our real affection for Krishna. Now, our real affection for Krishna, we get asked this all the time. Does the real affection for Krishna include real affection for other jivas? Well, it's right here in this verse. Govinda priya sarati na vedaya tam priyayai so chancha atmajan hatam. Arjuna, along with his dear friend and charioteer Krishna, entrusted the murder unto his dear wife. So not only is Krishna dear to Arjuna, but Draupadi is also dear to Arjuna. And Arjuna is dear to Krishna, and Arjuna is dear to Draupadi. Draupadi and Arjuna love each other. They are described with exactly the same word, priya. And we find in the writings of the Goswamis, I've been recently studying Vidugdha Madhava, how the gopis are speaking to each other also as priya. Radharani is speaking to Padma, priya. And Padma is speaking to Radharani, priya. So, you are dear to me. You are dear to me. So we have these relationships also with other living entities. with other jivas. Arjuna and Draupadi are both jivas, and yet they are dear to each other. Prabhupada explains in the prayers of Queen Kunti that when she's asking to cut off the tie of affection, he's saying she's asking to cut off the false upadi. But she's not asking to stop her relationship with the Pandavas as far as Vaishnavas. He says, once you have your relationship with Krishna, then you can have loving relationships with other jivas. If you start by having trying to have loving relationships with other jivas on a false platform, then you get this drop on a lotus flower. But if you start with your relationship with Krishna on the real platform, then you can also have relationships with other jivas on the real platform. So this operates, Prabhupada says how to do this. This operates by the process of bhakti yoga. And Prabhupada's giving two ways to attain this affectionate relation with Krishna and thereby also have our affectionate relation with other jivas. He's saying if he had all desires and sincerely tries for it by the process of bhakti yoga. So let's look at each of these. At all desires. So ultimately, to attain perfection in bhakti yoga, it has to be an overwhelming desire. It has to be lobham. It has to be greediness. When we're greedy for something, that greed is a very overwhelming desire that, as Krishna explained, knocks out our intelligence. So one ultimately has to be so greedy for Krishna that one doesn't care about the criticisms of others or basically anything else. Many of us, when we devoted ourselves to Krishna consciousness, it was in that mood that forget about everything. We dropped everything as if it was insignificant. It's like Bharat Maharaj explained, he left everything like a person gives up their stool after passing it. Nobody, after passing stool has some affection for their stool. So that much greediness that one just says, Krishna, I want you. What about anything else? But one may not start that way. One may start here if he at all desires, even if there's a little desire. In fact, generally speaking, in the beginning, there is just a little desire. He says, everyone can thus enjoy the company of the Lord in the spiritual realm if he at all desires. There's another place where Srila Prabhupada says that if we can develop the mood of the residents of Vrindavan even to a minute degree, we can enter into Vrindavan. So some desire, and then sincerely tries for it by the process of bhakti yoga. We often get this question, what does it mean to be sincere? Of course, we all know what it means to be sincere. If you say to somebody, we're giving classes in, martial arts. And you say, I sincerely want to learn martial arts. Well, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to sign up for the classes. You're going to pay the fee. You're going to come to the classes. You're going to pay attention to the instruction. You're going to go home and practice. My daughter now is teaching some little girls a dance that they hope to do for Janmashtami. So she's working with girls who are around, I think, 7 to 11 years old, and who've had some background in dance training from her and from some other devotees. But my 4-year-old granddaughter also wants to be in the dance. However, she really isn't expert enough to join the rest of the class. So my daughter said to her, Shrita, if you really want to be in the dance, then you're going to have to do a lot of practice on your own so that you're going to be as good enough as the other girls. So yesterday she was playing the recording over and over and over and practicing the dance over and over and over and over for hours and hours and hours and hours. And she came to me, she said, Grandma, do you know why I'm doing this? I said, why, Shrita? She said, because I really want to be in the dance, and Auntie says if I'm good enough and I really know it, I can be in the dance. That's sincerity. That we all recognize what sincerity looks like. And sincerity also means not duplicitous. Not coming and saying, I want it, and then secretly going and doing something else. And that's somebody who's sincere, they're honest, they're authentic. And then, so we have, if he at all desires and sincerely tries for it, I said there were two things, really there's three. If he at all desires and sincerely tries for it by the process of bhakti yoga. So what is the process of bhakti yoga? Process of bhakti yoga can be divided into two. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and raganuga sadhana bhakti. Sadhana means a practice. Krishna calls it abhyas yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's the process of bhakti yoga. After that, one comes to the perfection of bhakti yoga, not exactly the process of bhakti yoga. So in Vaidhi bhakti, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti means that one's impetus for bhakti is coming not so much from affection, but is coming more from conviction. It's coming much more from conviction. So we had that question asked the other day. You know, can I go on if I'm just convinced? So Vaidhi sadhana bhakti is that one has faith in the Shastra. One has faith in the Guru. And from faith in Shastra and Guru and Sadhus, one is convinced. And therefore, one is engaged in the process of bhakti yoga. That's what's driving the person. And in Vaidhi bhakti, we're supposed to develop some affectionate relation with Krishna. Now, in Vaidhi bhakti, you cannot be developing an affectionate relationship as a servant, a friend, a parent, or an object of conjugal love because you don't know what that is yet. You don't know what your affectionate relationship is. That's the very definition of Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, in a sense, that what's motivating you is Shastra rather than a particular relationship. But still, in Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, one is supposed to be functioning on the level of affection for Krishna. One is maya shaktam mana partha. One is supposed to have some attachment to Krishna. And in fact, we find that in the process of Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, there is dasya and sakya. That's part of the nine process. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam. This is the process of bhakti yoga that Prabhupada is referring to here, and among them is dasya and sakya. Although the dasya and sakya of the ninefold process of bhakti yogi is not referring to the rasa or the staibhav of sakya and dasya. But that mood of general affection, because everyone in all of the rasas is dasa. Jivera swaropayat krishnara nitya dasa. The dasa is there always. Even Srimati Radharani is serving Krishna. Mother Yasoda is serving Krishna. Krishna, please come and eat. Krishna, come go to sleep. It's in the mood of a parent, but parent is definitely the servant. And in the conjugal relationship, certainly the Krishna's gopis, Krishna's queens, they are certainly serving Krishna. The attendant, maid servants, etc., are all serving Krishna. Dasya is there. And if we're serving someone, we feel some affection for them. A few months ago, I was visiting our temple in Bloemfontein, South Africa. That means the flower of the fountain of roses. Anyway, the center there is run by a married couple. The wife was constantly cooking. I mean, she was practically speaking never out of the kitchen. They ran a prasadam program, so many things, very good cook. And she obviously loved to cook, very dedicated. And I remember, I was just there for a few days. I think it was my last day or second to last day there. And I was watching her in the kitchen and I had this overwhelming feeling. I would really like to serve her. I wish I could help her. I wish I could serve her. So this is the way we should feel towards Krishna, towards Guru, towards the Vaishnavas. Not just doing our service like some employee doing a job they don't like and they're just doing it for money. That's not the way we should be doing our service. When we're engaged in the nine processes of service, it shouldn't be, oh, I'm just doing this because I'm told to, and I'd rather be doing something else, and it's just a mechanical ritual. I can't wait till it's over. You know, let me just do this ritual and
and my payment is I'll get to go back to Godhead. No, not like that. Not like that. But because I have some feeling for Guru, I have some feeling for the Vaishnavas, I have some feeling for Krishna, one needs to cultivate this feeling. So that's the dasya of the nine processes. And the sakya of the nine processes, in summary, is I trust Krishna, and Krishna can trust me. A general friendship, not the friendship, again, it's mentioned here, of the Saibab, but a general sense. I can trust Krishna. Krishna is my protector. Krishna Prabhupada also speaks about this quite a bit in his lecture that he gave on this verse, that Krishna is my protector. He's going to take care of me. He's going to maintain me. He's the one I depend on. I don't depend on my relationships in this world based on false upadis. They're all straws in the river and drops of water on the lotus flower. They will not protect me or maintain me. Krishna will. I trust him. I trust how Krishna is going to unfold my life. I trust that whatever Krishna does is what's best for me. I have this sense of trust. And Krishna can trust me. I'm his well-wisher. I'm working for his benefit. I'm just like an employee in a company is supposed to work for the company's benefit. You're not supposed to go to work and spend all of your time playing Scrabble over your phone. You're supposed to go to work and do the company's business. And you're not supposed to steal from the company. You're supposed to be satisfied with whatever salary the company gives you. You're not even supposed to steal pencils. So Krishna can trust me. I work for him, and I spend my time working for his business. I'm not cheating and working for my own business. And I don't steal from Krishna. Whatever Krishna gives me as prasadam, I am satisfied with that. I don't mean just food. And if there's something he doesn't give me, I don't try to steal it. We could talk, of course, about all of the processes of bhakti yoga, but everything's done with that mood. Although dasya and sakya are two parts of the nine processes, actually, all of the nine processes of vaidhi bhakti are done with this mood of dasya and sakya. They're all done with this mood that I am Krishna's servant, and I trust Krishna, and Krishna can trust me. They're done with some affection. So that is in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then in Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, one is doing practice with a very specific kind of affection. So Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti means that the mood of servant, friend, parent, or object of conjugal love, as Prabhupada talks about here in the purport, has started to spontaneously awaken within the self. And then one is still doing hearing, chanting, and remembering. In fact, especially hearing, chanting, and remembering, Prabhupada says, are the items practiced in Raghunuga Bhakti. But one is doing them, instead of the impetus being a conviction, the impetus is now coming from the natural feelings in the heart. So in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, there are still natural feelings in the heart, but they're general. Krishna is my master, Krishna is my friend. They're very general feelings, and the predominant motivating factor is the conviction of the Shastra. In Raghunuga Bhakti, the predominant motivating factor is one's natural feelings, and those natural feelings become very specific, and those natural feelings become very specific naturally. So in this way, if he had all desires, if we have even some desire, if we sincerely try for it, and if we sincerely try for it with some desire by the process of bhakti yoga, not in some concocted process, not in some imaginary process. Rupa Goswami says that if you do bhakti without reference to the scriptures, it's just a disturbance. Bhakti as given by the acharyas, as Rupa Goswami explains in the Upadesha Amrita, text 3, that one has to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, with the idea that we are awakening this affectionate relation with Krishna in a general way as a servant and friend in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and as a specific way according to our natural awakening in Raghunuga Bhakti. And when we do that, then Prabhupada says, we can thus enjoy the company of the Lord in the spiritual realm. Enjoy the company of the Lord. We always say how Krishna is the enjoyer, but here the living entity is also enjoying the company of the Lord, who is enlivening all of the senses of the devotee. The devotee is enjoying the company of the Lord Govinda Priyasadatihi, who is enlivening the senses of the devotee, and the devotees are also enjoying the company of each other, as Arjuna and Draupadi are enjoying each other's company. There is a whole society. There is the perfect society. And if we at all desire and sincerely follow the process, then we can awaken to our place in that society. That's a society of the real affectionate relation. So we are all trying to enjoy varieties of rasa primarily through some kind of relation of affection. And as I said in the beginning, it can even be with a thing. You know, the musician picks up their instrument and they're first practically caressing their instrument, or the person washing their car and practically caressing their car. We are all seeking for rasa, for taste, for enlivenment through some affectionate relation. Now let us therefore find the real affectionate relation with Krishna and with other living entities, if we at all desire, and if we sincerely try for it by the process of bhakti yoga. Questions, comments?
Dear friends from the past, where are they and where are those relationships today? So then I would ask the question, what about the relationships, the affectionate relationships, the relationships of friendship, etc., that we have within our society? We have God brothers and God sisters with whom we've formed very deep relationships and deep friendships. Where will these be tomorrow?
Well, that depends. Have the relationships been on the platform of a new party, or have the relationships been on the platform of soul to soul via the super soul, as Srila Prabhupada says? So if our relationships with others are based on upadis, I am your brother, I am your mother, then they're more or less meaningless. They may last for a few lifetimes, but they're not, and even under a few lifetimes they may change their form. But if our relationship with other devotees is actually based on service to Krishna, if it's truly centered on Krishna, and our mood is, I am serving this Vaishnava to please Krishna, then that relationship is eternal. Obviously, it will be in another form, probably. It will probably be in another form. Maybe you're a gopi and that person is a cowherd boy. Maybe you're a gopi in Radharani's group and that person is a gopi in Shamala's group. You know, maybe you're, you know, a Manjari gopi in Arasaki. I mean, it may be in a different mood. Maybe they're one of Yasoda's servants and you're one of Sridham's friends. But there's still going to be some eternal relationship. And Prabhupada says, when he was asked, will we remember when we were in Goloka Vrindavan our relationships from earth? And Prabhupada said, certainly. So if we really want, I mean, it's interesting because there are a number of religions which promise people eternal relationships. I know the Mormons, if you have your marriage in their Mormon ceremony, they promise you it's going to be an eternal marriage. And whenever I hear that, I think, you know, a lot of people really wouldn't want their present marriage to be an eternal marriage. You know, even people who don't divorce and are reasonably happily married might really not want to be the eternal spouse of that other person. It's sort of funny. But this concept, you know, I have one friend who used to be a devotee has become a Catholic, and she recently had a baby die. She was talking about how, well, we'll all be together again in heaven, you know, our whole family will be together in heaven, but I don't know, there's some people in my family I don't really know if I want to hang out with forever. You know, we had this kind of obnoxious uncle and so forth. Anyway, certainly anybody with whom we have developed a spiritual relationship with, Prabhupada said there'll be another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. And that doesn't mean that I'll be Urmila Dasi, you know, and you'll be Narahari Das, and there'll be GBC meetings, and, you know, not like that. So we should seek to have our relationships on that platform if we really want them to be sweet and eternal.
Thank you. Great answer.
Mother Vermila, I wanted to ask you a question. In the song Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, I've never really understood it, because the intense emotions that are expressed there, you would think they would be reserved for Krishna. Could you kind of explain that song?
Well, first of all, I think the song Sri Rupa Manjari Padma is way, way, way above Urmila Devi Dasi. So I can just give you a little something. Just this principle that when Krishna is the center, the devotees also have very intense relationships of love with each other. I mean, just based on this verse today, the relationship between Arjuna and Draupadi is very deep. Their love is real. Their love is eternal. And you could say that they love each other as much as they love Krishna. You can't really distinguish. Just like even we say that one who has complete faith in both Guru and Krishna, the Guru is, generally speaking, a jiva. But that's there. One who has unflinching faith. And in fact, if you read Manashiksha, which is a what we call padati, a guide for bhakti, particularly for Raganuga bhakti, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he starts off, Raghunath Das Goswami starts off in the first verse saying that one should have rati for guru, for brahmanas, for the residents of Vrindavan. He also says for your Gayatri mantra, for the holy name, for Krishna. But he includes these others. And rati is another word for bhava. What's also interesting about the word rati is it implies romantic love. Rati is the wife of Cupid. It implies a very intense kind of love. So there's a very intense love between Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, and between Arjuna and Krishna, and between Rupa Manjari and her assistant Manjaris. It's not in a sense lesser. I mean, we do have a philosophy of achinta bheda bheda tattva, and generally we emphasize the bheda, because nirvisesa sunyavadi paskatya desha charitam, that generally we emphasize the difference, because at the present moment in history we're very much trying to combat impersonalism and voidism, which is spread all over the world. However, you'll note that the Shastra gives just as much emphasis to the oneness. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives an equal emphasis to the oneness. So we are also all one. Therefore, when one realizes love for Krishna, one has equal love for everyone. Of course, in different flavors. So although one has equal love for everyone, there are going to be some people, because we are also individuals, with whom we have very particular, intense, specific relationships. But always Krishna is the center. So this is it's a perpetual question. Because in Nectar of Devotion, prema is defined as having love for Krishna and nobody else. That's the definition of prema. Bhijma is quoted as saying, when all feelings of kinship are reposed in the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, Janaka janani daita tanai prabhu guru pati tuhu sarvamoy. You are my everything. But Krishna is not an ordinary person. Although he's an individual and he's a living entity, nityo nityanam chaitanis chaitananam. He's distinct from other living entities. At the same time, he's not distinct from other living entities. He's not, it's not an ordinary person. He's a person who has a distinct personality and individuality, and yet he is everyone and everyone is him. That is also true. Let's see, there's a very nice, I don't know if I could find it quickly. I believe it's in the 9th chapter. It might be in 7th. Look at 7th and 9th. 1 second. And let's see. Okay, yeah, it's in 9. So this is, if you go to Bhagavad Gita 9:17, where Krishna says, I'm the father of this universe and mother, the support and the grandsire. Prabhupada says here in this purport that in the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, but actually they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc. are nothing but Krishna. Interesting. The Prabhupada says that all of them are just Krishna. That our mother and father are all Krishna. Being parts of Krishna, they are also Krishna. So the Prabhupada there is talking about our illusory relationships. In fact, the gopis talk about this. They talk about, they say to Krishna that our affection for others is just because they're part of you. Our real affection is for you. So what to speak of the liberated souls whose relationships are on the platform of reality? So there's no reason why they can't have equal affection for each other that they have for Krishna. Although perhaps we could also say that it's not exactly equal, because we find the mothers and fathers of the cowherd boys, when Krishna became their sons, their affection increased. And they always had somewhat more affection for Krishna than they had for their own sons. Yet their feeling for their own sons is very intense. So that's as far as my own realization goes. If someone here has a higher level of realization and can explain further, then please take it further, because that's... Well, Prabhupada talks about birds flying in the sky, and each one can fly only up to a certain height. That's as high as I can fly.
There is somebody that's waiting to ask you a question, but before they ask, anyone else have a question or a comment?
I have something. Dhanyavad, Ramodidi.
Yeah, my obeisances.
So, Giri Govardhan, his expression is, it's above my pay grade. We hear about this lullium or greed. Srila Rupa Goswami talks about this, and, you know, for pure devotional service. And in Madhya Leela and Ramananda Sambhad, there's a verse, pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is intense greed, to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. But sometimes we hear devotees encouraging beginners to apply this greed to reading higher writings, higher books, some of which even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada discouraged many of his disciples from reading or discussing openly. So I was thinking, perhaps you could say something about how one might apply this lullium, this greed, according to their stage and qualification.
My 4-year-old granddaughter has great greed to perform in the dance. So what she's doing is she's practicing the steps that her teacher has taught her. If we really want to grow our greed for entering Krishna Leela, then we have to function at our level of advancement. if you really want to become an expert piano player, then you have to first practice the scales. So you have to know where you are. You know, I make this point all the time. You got to know where you are. If I want to get from here, from where I am right now, I'm on Kapu'olani Street in Hilo, Hawaii. So if I want to get from here to Miami, I have to buy a ticket from Hilo. Maybe I can buy a ticket from Kona, but then I got to drive over there. I can't buy a ticket from Honolulu even. I can't even say, well, I'm in Hawaii. Honolulu's in Hawaii, so I'll just fly from Honolulu. I can't do that. How am I going to get from here to Honolulu? I can't walk. I can't swim. What am I going to do? If my plane takes off from Honolulu, I ain't going to be on it. I have to plan my trip from where I am. The same way, even if you're walking. If you ask someone for directions, even if you're walking, you've got to give them an accurate starting point. Otherwise, when they say turn right, maybe you really should turn left. So a lot of advancing, if we're really greedy to go somewhere, not only do we have to have our destination in mind, we've got to know where we are. Because how we exhibit our greed is very much dependent on where we are. And real greed is actually not manifest till a higher stage. But even whatever desire we have, whatever amount of desire we have, we can only exhibit it and feed it according to where we are. I'll give another example with a child growing up. You know, we have a newborn baby here, so the only thing a newborn baby can eat is mother's milk. Even if you give a newborn baby cow's milk, they'll get really sick. You know, and you can't start giving a newborn baby chapatis. Even when we have the grain ceremony when they're 6 months old, you know, you have to give them ground-up food. You can't give them regular food. So one has to know what is one's state, or in school, you know, when you're in school. You can't write a sentence before you know your alphabet. You can't write a paragraph when you can't write a sentence. You can't write a story if you can't write a paragraph. So therefore, guru. Everyone must have a guru. When Prabhupada speaks about 7-1, one of my favorite lectures of all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures was the lecture he gave on 7-1 in Sanan, India, Vaya Shaktamana Partha. Prabhupada goes on at length about how we should become attached to Krishna. But then he also focuses on Madashraya. Also in the verse is Madashraya. He says you cannot develop your attachment to Krishna unless you're under the shelter of Krishna. He says, or under the shelter of someone who's under the shelter of Krishna. In other words, you can't develop your attachment for Krishna whimsically. You have to do it according to Krishna's instructions. And there's a very nice section on this in the Niyamagraha part of Bhaktiloka, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that there's different rules for different stages. So if we're really greedy, get a guru, and not an official guru, not a pet guru, not a guru you just put your picture up on your altar and say, I have a guru, but a guru that you're willing to surrender to, that you're willing to follow. Otherwise, there's no meaning. Otherwise, they're just your pet. And you get a guru you're actually willing to follow. And then the guru is supposed to be able to say to you, this is where you are. And according to where you are, this is what you can do. And that's different for different people. There are some people who can read the higher books because that's where they are. Those books exist to be read. It's not that they exist never to be read by anybody. And of course, those books are quoted throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj is quoting them, Srila Prabhupada is quoting them. It's not that we're not accessing them at all. Rupa Goswami is quoting them in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But as far as what one should do, that we have to have a guru. And we have to be honest about where we are and we have to follow. Otherwise, what is the meaning of sincere and what is the meaning of the process of bhakti yoga? Prabhupada said, if one at all desires and sincerely, that's what we read today, yes? If one at all desires and one sincerely follows the process of bhakti yoga, right? The purport. If he at all desires and sincerely tries for it by the process of bhakti yoga. So sincerely means I accept a guru. And the process of bhakti yoga, when Rupa Goswami is describing the process of bhakti yoga, three most important things. Take shelter of a guru, get initiated by the guru, and follow the instructions of the guru. So, you know, before you touch the higher books, you got to have the lower books. You know? And I think it's a big problem. Because on the one hand, it's an opulence that all these books are available to us. They weren't available to us 30, 40 years ago. But at the same time, a person can just go and boom, read Ujjwala Nilamani when they haven't even read Bhagavad Gita. And that's dangerous. You know, if you try to, you go to ballet and you try to put on the toe shoes and you try to dance on your toes before you've even learned the basic steps, you're going to break your ankle. So there's a time and place for everything. One shouldn't be so afraid of advancing to the higher places that when you're ready, you don't do it. That's not very intelligent. But nor should you jump to places that you're not ready for. When you get to that point in the journey, then that's where you go. But that there should all be under higher guidance. In fact, the whole principle of Raganuga Bhakti is being under higher guidance. That is, we want to talk about what is the essence given by Rupa Goswami, the essential definition of how to practice Raganuga. We're not talking about qualification right now. But how to practice Raganuga Bhakti is you have to be under the shelter of a resident of Vrindavan. You're following a particular resident of Vrindavan. You're following Lalita. You're following Rupa Manjari. You're following Sridhan. You're following somebody. That's the, what is the practice of Raganuga Bhakti? That is the main practice. You're under somebody's shelter, Madashraya. And what is the main practice of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? You accept a guru. You follow the guru. Otherwise, Nagati Katopi. You're nowhere. And it's just a disturbance. So, you know, go on and read your highfalutin books. Hare Krishna. Good luck. You know, maybe at some point, I mean, Prabhupada would talk about even the Sahajiyas. We're not saying all these people are Sahajiyas, but even the Sahajiyas, he said at least they have some connection with Krishna. So, okay, great, some connection with Krishna. Maybe at some point one will actually sincerely try for it by practicing bhakti yoga. But that's not practicing bhakti yoga, just to do whatever I want and just to decide, you know, myself what I'm supposed to do. Then I'm not Madashraya. You know, we have to work under guidance. So that's, you know, and maybe there are people, hopefully there are people, hopefully, you know, Krishna consciousness has been around for almost 50 years in the West. Hopefully there are people who are qualified. Hopefully there are people who actually can do those things. We're not saying that nobody can ever do those things, otherwise what's the point of this purport? But for myself, I have to be under guidance. I have to be under guidance of superior Vaishnavas always, always. I never get to a point where I'm independent of the guidance of the saints. That's immediately out of the process of bhakti, finished, on the left on the side of the road. So as a practical matter, my suggestion to devotees, and I'm speaking specifically to devotees in ISKCON, so if there are devotees who are in some other sangha, this will be somewhat different. But my suggestion specifically to devotees who are in ISKCON and who are primarily followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is that they read all of Srila Prabhupada's books, at least all the main ones, all of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, Nectar Instruction, Ishopanishad, the scriptures that Prabhupada wanted for Bhakti Shastri, preferably to get the Bhakti Shastri degree, which is what Srila Prabhupada wanted for all second initiates, and to be thoroughly grounded in Srila Prabhupada's books. And generally speaking, we're talking at least 10, 15 years of being, you know, thoroughly grounded and strictly following. I mean, Krishna can do anything, and somebody may spontaneously enter into higher realms sooner than that. In fact, I know of one such person. But that's unusual. And Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati at Radhakund said 10, 15 years. So then one can add, under the guidance of superiors, not on one's own initiative, but with consultation with others, after thorough grounding and maturity, under the guidance of sadhu and guru, if one is truly ready, then one can also do that. But one should not be touching those books at all without having thorough grounding. Maybe in some very unusual circumstance, and that should also be with the permission and the blessings of superior Vaishnavas and guru, not independently. Is that all right?
Yeah, it's good.
You don't sound very enthused.
No, it's good. I
something you want to add?
I think you covered it, especially at the end. Anyone else for who's?
Hare Krishna, Urmila Devi, this is Maharani Devi Dasi.
Maharani.
That's exactly what happened to me, what you just mentioned, with my Guru Maharaj. I would ask him, this was back when I had to write letters, mail, I'd ask him, oh, all the devotees are reading this book by Swami so-and-so, can I read the book? And he would write back and say, stick to Srila Prabhupada's books. And it was 17 years, not that I was keeping track, but when I look back, I figured out it was 17 years before I said, if everybody knows Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavad except me, can I at least read that book? But the point is, and he said yes, but the point is, he made me read Srila Prabhupada's books over and over and over for 17 years before he even let me read Chaitanya Bhagavad. But anyway, that was just a short comment.
Yes,
yeah, so my question.
And then we have to have faith. We have to have faith. Guru Krishna Prasad Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. It's not what you read. It's Krishna. It's the mercy of Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Go on.
Oh, it was just hard to hear you because of something that happened in the background. But my question about this verse is, it seems like now in Kali Yuga, all conjugal relationships are based on sex life. And I know that Arjuna and Draupadi very much have regulated sex life. Maybe they just... Well, anyway, how did they develop their deep, affectionate relationship with each other by having very related sex life and not just, you know, being crazy about sex the way everybody is in Kali Yuga nowadays?
Oh my God, what a question. Hare Krishna. What a question. Arjuna and Draupadi's relationship is based on the fact that they have mutual friendship for Krishna. They're both Krishna's friends. Draupadi is also in this humor of Sakyaras. It's not that only males have Krishna as friend. Draupadi is also Krishna's friend. And the deep love between Arjuna and Draupadi, although they are husband and wife, and they have a romantic and sexual relationship with each other, that's not the main basis of their love for each other. The main basis of their love for each other is that both of them have a very deep friendship with Krishna. And therefore, they have a very deep friendship with each other, although their friendship with each other is also includes having children with each other and having sexual dealings with each other. But that's forming their bond. What's forming their bond with each other, even their sexual relationships with each other, are part of their friendship for Krishna. They're joining together and producing children out of love for Krishna. It's not something separate. You know, in a material life, Kali Yuga, any Yuga, you know, the concept that I'm having a close relationship with someone because of sexual union is all imagination. What's uniting my body is uniting with your body, but I'm not my body. I'm not my body, and you're not your body. It's like, you know, taking two characters that we're manipulating and uniting them with each other. And because of attachment, I feel the sense stimulation of my body as if it's mine. But it's not. It's not touching me. I'm just observing. So there's not really a connection happening between two souls. There's a connection happening between two bodies. Or, you know, if you're lucky, also between two minds. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the connection between bodies is earthly rasa, between minds is heavenly rasa, and between the souls is spiritual rasa. So if the relationship just based on the bodies joining, you're not really relating with the other person at all. It's not happening. You know, I take my glove and your glove and put them together, and our hands aren't touching. We're not actually touching the other person. So with someone like Arjuna and Draupadi, it's very different than that. Or Vasudeva and Devaki. I mean, it said that Krishna was not conceived through ordinary sexual relations, but our assumption is that their other children were. They had normal physical sexual relations. But again, that's not the basis of their... That's not the cause and the reason of their love for each other. The cause and the reason of their love for each other is their shared parental rasa with Krishna. And they express it in that way, at least to some extent sometimes. It's part of their expression of it. But the cause of their relationship is their mutual love for Krishna. The cause of their relationship is not bodily sex. And for them, bodily sex is yajna. Prabhupada said even for the ordinary devotee in Vaidhi Bhakti, that bodily sex between husband and wife is like yajna. You're offering it to Krishna. And what's sweet about that is that it joins the husband and wife in seva. And then, of course, other things are also included. When you have $1,000, you automatically have $10. So whatever bodily and mental satisfaction is there, is also there, is also included. But there's the so much greater satisfaction that you're working for Krishna. And it's not really that terribly important for people on that level how they're, you know, are they working for Krishna by having sexual intercourse to have a child? Are they working for Krishna by eating together? It's the point is their satisfaction is coming from the spiritual platforms. It's a wholly different thing than people who are in materialistic consciousness and trying to have some conjugal relationship on the platform of joining together two bodies, neither of which are the identity of the persons involved. I think I could take one more, and then I really have to go. Ramananda, did you say there was one more question?
Yes, but he left.
Oh. Okay. All right, so we'll end here then. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.